Welcome to the first ever podcast of Real Life Real Estate, your inside look at life listings and everything real. Wendy Cross, let's talk about how we know each other.
Oh my gosh, do you know that it goes back to Silverbrook Middle School? Sixth grade, we were, classmates together. Both had the same name, Wendy, which is unique for our age group a bit. So, yeah, it goes way back.
And then, I think even though you lived in West Bend and I was, raising kids in Slinger, we kind of, lost touch with each other. Tell me about your life since high school and then, what happened to you about 3 years ago.
Got it. Born and raised here in West Bend, came from a big family. My dad was a fireman here in town, so deeply rooted in this community. Tony and I, my husband, Pat, he passed away about 3 years ago, but him and I started dating in high school, so we had been together since 1988. Truly my best friend. We raised a family here. We have three daughters, and our youngest is 18 now, but about 3 years ago, almost, Tony had passed away from cancer. He had been diagnosed with a rare form of aggressive cancer in spring of 2020, and it was unfortunately just a two-year struggle and journey, and then we lost him in July of 2022.
And, let's talk about Tony. I think that was, what I want to talk about. Tony was, so awesome. He was so great.
Yeah, he was the best. I mean, him, and so many people knew who Tony was, and, just truly one of those prized humans that should not end up with cancer and should not pass away at 49 and leave, a wife and three kids behind in a community. But, he was just, he was funny, he was caring, he was, strong, man for his family. And
he loved his girls.
Oh, my gosh.
He loved his girls.
He was the best guy that he was put on this earth to be a girl dad.
For sure.
And we actually have a plaque at home that says, "You're the dad that every girl wishes they had." And, that was him because he was just so caring and loving and supportive and funny and strong and determined and hard-headed and, just all all the things. And he loved big. And I'm so blessed that I
You're so blessed.
That. I'm so blessed.
You're so blessed that you had that for your girls because your daughters are phenomenal. Every single one of them is different.
Yep.
I love the baby the best. But tell me about the girls, because those are the kind of girls that Tony raised, having such great parents that were married, and then Tony just loved his girls.
Yeah, he truly did. I mean, we raised Kelsey, Kendra, and Cassie. They're all 3 years apart, so now they're 24, 21, 18, and all just strong, strong women that have a lot of their father in them, obviously a lot of me as well. But he, whether it was hunting or fishing or kayaking, reloading shotgun shells or tea parties and watching High School Musical together and, playing dress up, he just covered all of the bases as being the best girl dad. And, losing him is catastrophic. There's absolutely no comprehension as to why something like that should have had to happen.
Are you stuck in that why?
No, actually, interesting that you ask that, because I've actually, now that we're reaching, almost this three-year mark, and anyone who's suffered with grief or loss or any of that knows this, and it's a journey that will last for the rest of your life, and it's the price that comes with loving somebody absolutely amazing and being blessed with that. But the neurological impact of grief, when it first happens, there's a neurological effect on your brain. Your brain doesn't know how to actually process daily life or function without that person there. And especially when, our situation, we had been together since we were 17 and 15 years old. So your brain really just doesn't know how to compute day-to-day life without your other half with you, right? And it takes a while for your brain to actually rewire itself to understand that that gap is now permanent in this physical world. You know, the gap, there's never a gap in the, you know, spiritual world and the,
right,
you know, metaphysical world and all of that. But yeah, in reality, you have to adjust to not having this other half of you near you. I mean, everything, we grew up together. We, you know, went through our 20s, got married, had kids, bought a house,
right,
you know, remodeled this house,
right,
did everything. We've been in the same house since, you know, since we bought it. And just all of those pieces to it are such, you know, like, wait, what? What do I do now? You know, like, how
right,
do you
right,
change your daily function when a part of you is missing?
And I think, like, Tony, he was such a great guy, but he was a regular guy, too. He was just a West Bend guy that says so much, right? Family first. But he just worked the same job all the time, so he got home at the same time.
Yeah.
So your routine.
Yeah.
So do you think that's the most... what's the most unexpected part of grief? Like, you didn't know. Like, women are not talking about it, or men if they lose their partners. What was the most unexpected? Just the everyday life?
Yeah, I mean, initially, when it starts out, like I said, your brain can't comprehend that this person is not here. That you're
yeah,
not able to have all of that incidental conversation, the deep conversations, the happy, the sad, the, you know, important things, but also just the, oh, I need, oh, I can't tell him that. Or, oh, I have
right,
a question
right,
about, oh, I can't right now, you know?
Right.
So initially, when, you know, you're first going through grief, you are just talking to the wall and the air and, you know, all of that. But, you know, as I was saying earlier, like, your brain needs to start rewiring, and then kind of, you feel like you keep getting over these little hurdles in this journey, and then all of a sudden you're approaching year two, and nobody tells you that year two is actually like going back to the starting line of the whole grief process. And all of a sudden that second anniversary is, oh my gosh, I've made no headway on this
right,
journey,
right,
on this process. Like, I know it's going to coexist forever. Grief and joy will live together, you know, forever. But
that is a statement that is so...
Yeah. And you have
yeah,
to accept that. And if
you have to, because
yeah,
what happened with your girls is they're doing all these... Like, in the 2 years, your oldest got married. Your oldest went to Iowa, right, to school. So they're
right,
just, like, letting go of her, right?
Yeah.
You know, another thing that I, at our age that I'm experiencing is like the empty nesting.
Right.
You just long for your kids, right? So
right,
you're missing your oldest, but then you're missing Tony. So then you have all these great things happening, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the
like
thing.
Life is still moving forward. That's hard.
Right.
I think that would be hard too.
It is very hard, and that's where a support system and really good friends come into play. But yeah, life goes on whether you want it to or not, so you have to continue to choose each day to accept processing this day ahead of you, right, without them. But yeah, there was marriages and, you know, grad school graduations now.
High school.
And now Cassie's going to graduate from high school. And, you know, and trips we took and just other family
right,
events. And there's all these things that are so joyous and so amazing, and you are gut punched over the fact that your person's not there for it. You know, the girl's father isn't there for it, but he is, but he's not. And, you know, we talk about him all the time. We,
yeah,
you know, celebrate who he was. We laugh about all sorts of things to keep him in our daily lives for sure. But it is a hard, hard journey for sure.
And I don't think it would be better if you were married less time or didn't have kids or if you were 80, right? It feels the same. How did your, you know, it always comes back to real estate, right? How did your home feel after Tony passed?
Horribly empty, because like I said, you know, this was our first house and we had, you know, he did all the work on the remodeling that we put into it. So he's everywhere, you know, and...
Yeah.
Then, so you're left with I need to shelter in place right here, you know, in this house, because this is the last place he was in and where our family is. And then as time goes on, you're now faced with all those homeowner, you know, trials and tribulations.
Yes.
That you're like, son of a biscuit, this guy was supposed to be here to help with this, that, and the other thing. Good thing I held the flashlight and watched and got the tools needed, because now it all fell on, you know, me, and but obviously, you know, support from family and friends. But for a while, it's your refuge. And like with this whole grief journey, there are next phases, and I do feel like I'm entering the next phase.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, you know, because over the 3 years, your connection to the space is a little different. One, your baby, all three of your babies are going to be gone, right, in the fall.
Yeah.
So the girls have left now, so your connection to the space is a little different.
Correct.
Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Initially, you can't imagine leaving this space, right? Because it's your safe space right now. And it's comfortable, and everything around you needs to stay in place because there's been this major shift. But now that time has gone on, and we're at, you know, 2.5, almost 3 years, and we've had, you know, marriages, and Kendra moved to Chicago, and Cassie's going to graduate and go off to college, and I was hit with, I couldn't possibly stay here now by myself.
Right, right.
You know, it's such an identifying piece, and now I need to leave.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I tell the story about you quite a bit to a lot of my clients. I deal with estates a lot, and I remember like maybe a month or two after Tony had passed, and you were probably out of your mind, you said, I think I have to sell my house. And I remember saying to you, like, can you afford it, right? Because you are, you know, it's just your income now.
Right.
And you said, yeah, you know, I don't owe any money on it. And I remember thinking, like, your husband died, but their daddy died. So we got to get your kids through high school.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Right. So I think that was super telling. What helped you the most when you felt when you do feel overwhelmed by the emotional or even practical decisions? Then versus now.
Oh.
Then, like, what helped you?
Yeah,
helped
then you? Versus now has been quite a road. Yeah, I mean, initially when I reached out to you, thank God you were like, no, we'll talk later.
You're insane.
You know, because I'm thinking, I can't, you know, maybe I shouldn't keep this house. Maybe I shouldn't keep it up. Maybe we should change everything, you know, right now, even though it's my refuge. Maybe it needs to, you know, we need to do something else, or, you know, let's just get a condo, you know, whatever it might have been. And you need to keep processing, because like I said earlier, your brain has to actually rewire itself, and that takes quite some time. So you shouldn't really make catastrophic decisions in the throes of grief. But, you know, getting through all of that at the time, you know, amazing neighbors, amazing friends, my family, you know, I have a big family, they're a huge support, has really been what helps you navigate, you know, because you can laugh about it, cry, make stupid jokes, you know, be angry, all of the things. And the people around you, the true people around you, will show up.
I think that's what happened to you and I. Like, we've known each other.
Yeah.
Your maiden name is Wendy Watry. I'm Wendy Wendorf, right? We would maybe see each other at Walmart in all these years, and your little kids or my little kids.
Yeah.
But we really didn't talk. But I remember coming to Tony's service. Can you tell him what I said to you? Like, I was, like, so mad about it.
I know. Yeah, I mean, and even before you had reached out, you know.
When he was sick.
Yeah. While he was sick, this is stupid.
This is stupid.
Expletives that we won't share now, but, you know, exchanged different swear words with each other about the whole process. You know, you would check in on me, how's it going? And then after he passed, you know, you obviously extended a message, which was so real and so how it should be with, this effing sucks. This is BS. This is stupid.
Yeah.
Why would this happen? And, you know, I still remember you walking into his, you know, celebration of life, and you walked
with Metallica playing.
Yeah.
And Fish. Oh, I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
And like so many, everybody we went to school with, and Yeah. It was really a great service. It was really a great celebration of life.
It was a celebration of life.
And that's what your girls needed.
Right.
So you were a good mom.
Oh, thank you.
I just want to tell you that. You were such a good mom for not ever navigating that. You were such a good mom during that time.
Yeah.
Because that celebration of life, and that's what they're using, you know, instead of a funeral or a wake, now they're using. It was so great. And I remember just walking up to you like, I don't even want to be here. Like, what is going on?
Yeah,
this isn't true.
Yeah, she walked up and said, this effing sucks, and this is stupid. Why are we here? And I was like, I don't know, but thank you for speaking the obvious and saying everything we wanted to actually say. And yeah, it wasn't a funeral. It wasn't a wake. It was his fishing kayak was there. Metallica was playing. You know, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation was on the, instead of, you know, sappy photos. So that's, you know, where
we
were.
It was really great. You did a really good job.
Thank you.
At what point did you start thinking about real estate again? You know, after you called me and I was like, no, don't call me again.
Yeah.
Goodbye. When did you start thinking about it again?
Gosh, I would think, well, and you and I had, you know, have had a couple of dinners and gone out with each other and talked through it. And I think, gosh, maybe just in the past 6 months or so.
And you did try me out. You have a cousin who is moving into assisted living, and you tried me out, and then you saw what great success we had with that.
Yeah.
So then I think 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, what's going on? Like, is your baby graduating this year? Okay, let's meet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just part of the journey and the process, and, you know, I could sense for myself we were collectively ready to turn the page.
Yeah.
You know, make a new start.
Let's talk about that. You also just announced something on Facebook, and then I instantly started crying. And do you remember? I'm like, we gotta have dinner, and you're like, no, because we'll be crying the whole time. You just announced something that was so amazing to me that brings me so much happiness, that your oldest is pregnant.
Yep.
So kind of like talk about, because we're gonna talk about where you're going and how you got there.
Right.
But why are you going there?
Right, yes. So my oldest, I'm going to be a grandma this August.
And we're not going to call her Mimi or Gigi or anything young sounding.
No.
She's going to be Grandma Wendy.
The real OG. The original grandma. Yes, so Kelsey and Patrick will be having their first child in August, and they live in Georgia now. They have a functional health care practice.
Because they're both chiropractors.
Yep, both chiropractors.
And they were high school sweethearts, too.
Correct.
God, that's amazing.
I know.
So she married her dad.
She did.
So she's going to have a great life.
Yep. She did. And so anyways, they live in Georgia now, Northeast Georgia. Quite honestly, I've grown tired of the gray, dreary Wisconsin winters.
Yeah.
It's not good for your mental health. And Cassie's planning on going to college down south at University of Mississippi. So yeah, I was like, I'm ready for a next step. Like I had said earlier, I can't imagine staying in this house now by myself.
Yeah.
Because it's the house, I can't really stay there now.
No, you know? And I agree. And your career has really changed in the last 3 years. Not that Tony was ever stifling, but you kind of came into your own, and then you're traveling for your job quite a bit. So you could kind of pick out where you want to live, and you're like, Georgia's great.
Yep.
Maybe not next door, but it's awesome.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful area, and I do have other friends that are in the Georgia area. Obviously, being around my oldest again, who, you know, her and Patrick had gone to college and then grad school, so haven't really lived near them for about 8 years now.
God,
so I want to
go fast.
I know. Want to get back to them and be around this grandbaby. And
girl or boy?
Boy.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course it's a boy.
Yeah, of course it is.
Of course it's a boy.
So what advice would you give to others facing like real estate decisions during grief?
Don't do it right away. First and foremost, find an agent that you can trust, an agent who understands what you're going through, who's listening, who hears what you're not saying.
Yeah, who hears what you're not saying.
Yeah, and someone who's going to be honest about you might not be in the right frame of mind to make any harsh decisions right now. Granted, now if there's a financial, you know, situation, that's a different discussion. But don't make life-changing decisions when you're still just trying to cope with the fact that your life changed.
And for me, I guess my rule, being a top producer in Washington County and talking to people about death, it's different when it's your parent, right?
Yeah.
Or they were older or whatever. But I want one rule, one year, four seasons, go through every season of it,
yeah.
And then let's talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess a really good question I wanted to ask you, and you're really opening up to us, is what have you learned about the idea of home after loss? You know, like, what's your idea of home after losing someone?
Yeah, that's changed so much, right? You know, home was what I was used to and what was comfortable and what we had built together and all the things that are tied to him, right?
Right.
In the house, in our space, in our life. And the piece that happens is life continues to go on and it continues to move forward. And you, as you navigate all of these waters, you realize I can't actually stay put, you know?
And
I wouldn't have... You
in
know,
that
we,
time.
Yeah, we wouldn't have... Yeah, we wouldn't have stayed put even if he hadn't passed. Like, what was changing with the girls growing up and you know, all of the things... we would have still had to move forward in some way, shape, or form, right? Like, he wasn't a big, you know, big change guy. So
yeah.
He probably
yeah.
wasn't
yeah.
going to be like, yeah, let's, you know, go move to the mountains. So, but yeah, I mean, now you realize that your reality has changed, your future has changed, how you're looking at things are different. So home to me ends up being wherever you make it. And,
right,
you know,
right.
And where you want to make it, you know. So is it is it staying in one place? Is it staying in the same town you was, you know, born and raised in? Or is home the next story somewhere else?
A grandbaby in Georgia.
Yeah, with a grandbaby and, you know, new opportunities and new sights out that front door.
So if you could say one thing that you wish people knew, like people supporting you, about supporting someone with grief, what would you say? Like, grief, when someone passes, it's hard for everybody to support you without, you know, being creepy or like,
right.
I've already heard that. You know what I mean? You can only say hugs or I'm sorry, so, you know what I mean?
Right. Just be real. I mean, just keep it real. Like you did. You were like, this effing sucks. This is stupid. Yeah, it is. It is stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess I've learned going through this level of grief compared to other grief I've gone through. Through this level of grief, it's not, you know, some of the catchphrases just don't land like you want them to. And just being real and being honest and saying... just taking it to a deeper level of, I can't imagine what you're going through, but I bet this really, really sucks, you know, or whatever it might be, but just keep it real. Don't try and be meal trains. I mean, I could have used those like, you know, 2 years in because I don't really feel like cooking a lot anymore. initially it was great, but of course, initially you're like, I'd like to go 6 months without eating. You know, like you just, it's such a, and I think when people support you, for them to listen to, like I said, listen to what you're not saying, you know, and figure out.
And you weren't saying
that.
You were so great. I mean, you were like.
Oh, of course. You're super grateful.
Right.
You're super grateful. And, you know, it feeds, you know, whoever is there. But I mean, the one directly impacted by it really probably doesn't want anything, but. Are you bringing a case of wine over? You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. What has helped you find like new meaning or like purpose in this chapter? I'm not talking about getting a new life. I'm talking about like, I like how you say like this chapter, 3 years later, and I still can't believe it. Yeah. And I don't live there. I mean, how has your life changed, or like what has helped you find your new chapter? Just time, the girls growing older?
It just takes time. I mean, the grief journey just takes time and work and effort and talking about it and remembering him and remembering the life you had together, but also continuing to bring that into what else is coming down the road. But I guess for me, it's just remembering who you are, you know, remembering first and foremost that you're the love of your life. You would be doing a complete disservice to them if you crumbled and fell. Bless your children.
Yeah, you just said it.
You know, you just, and honestly, you know, the grace of God. Like, the grace of God has literally carried me.
Isn't that funny?
Through, you know, and I'm not an uberly, you know, religious person, super faithful. And when you reach the very bottoms, you're going to need something that actually is your buoy. So.
Well, I think we kind of talked about this, but what does home mean to you now?
Home to me now is love, you know? What kind of love can I surround?
You're about to embark on the greatest love of your life. Yeah. Really, grandkids are so much better than kids. They're so much better than nieces. They are just pure.
Yeah.
Like, you find yourself... I don't think I read any books to my kids. I think they were loud and crazy and just wacky all the time. I'm reading, I'm taking Delaney to Bluey at the library at 6 o'clock. And I said to their mom and dad, but I don't want you to go. I just want to take her because I just want to be with her.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for you to feel that and just know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%. I think home to me is now so inside of us, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it always was, but really... No. You know, the thought of walking away from this house that was our first home and we remodeled and all the things, certainly going to be emotional to, you know, pull out of that driveway one last time and you know, drive away from it all. But I'm so firm in feeling that now is the time and home is going to be, you know, somewhere else. And every day, you know, you just got to feel grateful and blessed that, you know, you can carry home with you wherever you go.
Okay, so it is exciting. So tell everybody your plans. I love them.
Yeah.
I love these plans.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, moving to Northeast Georgia, and I'm, you know, not going to buy something right away, but I'm going to find, you know, a simpler, less labor-intensive existence for myself. And
no plowing snow, no shoveling, no salting.
No. They always say you don't have to shovel heat, so I'll just be warm and...
And bougie and new.
Making new friends and traveling for work and experiencing... That's actually another piece of it. Experiencing all these new things, or my empty nest is just me now. So again, does that suck? Absolutely. Did I want it that it would be Tony and I as empty nesters? 1,000%. But I'm still very joyful about the next steps, you know, for myself.
I'm excited.
And, you know.
And a good real estate agent is going to help you. I'm going to make you a lot of money for Georgia.
She's going to make me a lot of money for Georgia. I love it.
So I want to say I love you. And
I'm
proud of you.
I'm so proud. No, I am proud of you. Like, what you have done for this community, coming in and taking care of so many people with new homes or selling homes or all of that, because you're so real and you lead with love and
I do lead with love. It's
and
really
you are
real.
Honest. Yeah, like, if you want honest, real love in its purest form.
Yeah, and the most money. And so I always say it's not about the paycheck for me. It's about the hustle of just getting top dollar.
Yeah.
So I can't wait.
I know.
And there is something to be said, and I talk to a lot of, like, older lake people, and you live in a great subdivision, where I'm like, you don't own the lake. It's time that you go, and, like, another family gets to enjoy your house.
Yeah.
And that's a different way. Like, you and Tony would want little baby twin boys running through the little halls of your house.
Right.
And I'm going to do that for you.
Right. Yeah, and somebody with dogs, you know, fresh dogs that will dig up holes in my backyard.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching, listening. If you have any questions about this podcast or anything real estate, please reach out. Real Life Real Estate, your look inside of life, listings, and everything real.